At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're going to be? I think it's that right there. It's grit. It's
grit. How we doing, Lions fans? How we feeling? It's good to be back Wednesday, right before game day. We got a special podcast for everybody today. We got a special guest, Plax with a connection this week. Plax, why don't you let us know who we got in the pod?
Yeah, we got a special guest. We gave him a little, gave you guys a little preview on the one on Monday. Got someone that actually knows what he's talking about instead of a bunch of guys who sat on the couch for a living. But we got a 2010 first team All-State Michigan running back. He had 1,941 yards, 8.6 on the average carries. He went for 355 against Andover High School. Then he took his talents up to Mount Pleasant to Central Michigan as a running back. Had a modest 726 total yards, 3 touchdowns. Capped his career off with a monumental touchdown catch in the Bahamas Bowl to catch a huge comeback against Western Kentucky. They went for two to get to win the game. Didn't work out. Sorry to remind you, bro. He's also been in both of my weddings. It's Anthony Garland.
Welcome
to the podcast, bro.
No, bro. Appreciate the intro. Appreciate y'all boys having me on, man. I love the pod, man. Like, I remember I was catching up last week. I just watched every episode, like, back to back to back, or listened to every episode back to back when I was at work, man. And I was like, man, they just get better and better every week. So, yeah, y'all boys doing y'all thing, man.
No, we need to have you on the pod more often, dude. Look at all these compliments, man, making us feel good.
Yeah, we appreciate all your speak pipe questions every week. I know you're down there in Daytona, Florida now. How you feeling down there?
Good, man. Like, I love Florida, man. And it's funny, man. I was just, like, talking with one of my buddies. He, like, is an Ohio fan. I was like, as soon as the Detroit sports, like, start coming back, as soon as the city start turning back up, I'm in Florida. I got to watch everything on TV. The Pistons playing ball. The Tigers went on, like, a run with the Cy Young winner. Hockey Town might be coming back. And, of course, man, our all-grit Detroit Lions, man. It's just what a time, man. We living in the good old days. Adrian said that on a couple pods ago. We living in the
good old days. Took a long time to get here, but we're here finally.
We're here.
Okay, cool. We had a couple questions for you. Wanted to get your perspective as a former running back. When you're watching the Lions, and obviously Sonic and Knuckles, Montgomery and Jameer have been having a big year. When you're back there behind the quarterback ready to run, what are you seeing from the Lions? Do you watch the offensive line still, kind of as a former running back? What do you see from the offensive line and pre-snap? What are you looking for?
So what I'm looking for, man, honestly, and I do watch, man, because I still love the running back position, man. Like, I wish the RBs in the NFL got treated a little bit better when it comes to, like, pay, because, you know, you see all the special things that, you know, obviously our Sonic and Knuckles do. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, guys that, you know, they said was over the hill or on the decline. But when I'm watching, man, I'm watching the communication up front. You know, like, as the defense moves, you know, the offensive line will, like, make different calls, you know, whether they're doing, like, a double team or if somebody going to be solo or, you know, and they really are telling Jared Goff, like, and the running back, hey, like this is going to be zone or this is going to be power. Like at the NFL level, you know, the offensive line got that power to make that adjustment based off of what the front looking. I mean, our offensive line does a great job, man. Like you don't even see Ragnow looking left to right because I'm assuming they got like call tags, like which is basically a word where everybody know what they're doing. And I mean, that's just like that's what you want to see. That's a good offensive line when the guys don't even got to look left to right, but just, you know, can talk to each other and still focus on, you know, what the what that box is doing on defense. So we do a really good Frank Ragnow is the best to do it, man. Like he's a quarterback on that line and you know, pre-snap, he always is giving direction. And, you know, obviously, you know, with our running game, how it's been, you know, it's working, man. You know, future Hall of Famer and Frank Ragnow, man.
Yeah, he's a beast. Who would have thought he'd be that good, but he's definitely panned out big time. Arkansas boy. Yeah. Razorbacks.
One of the few good picks that I appreciate Bob Quinn for was that Frank Ragnow draft pick. But man, AG, man, dropping the knowledge. I feel like I'm learning here. I'm going to school, dude. I love it.
Oh, I love ball, man. I used to coach a little bit, you know, back in the day before life got crazy busy. But I mean, the X's and O's is my favorite part of the game. Just like watching, you know, all the pieces come together on a play. Like it make football more enjoyable to watch for me, especially when it's our team that's doing it. So,
100%. What would you say with Montgomery and Jameer, what do you think is their individually their best traits? How are they so successful right now?
I mean, success comes from, like, you know, those two guys, like, not only, like, believing in each other, but, like, you can see, like, when they play the game, like, they truly don't care who is successful on any given game, man. And, like, not a lot of teams that's like that. You know, everybody is out there to, like, get theirs. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're trying to – thinking about their next paycheck. But these guys just do it the right way, man. They encourage each other. They celebrate each other, like, no matter who is having a big game. And as far as, like, their best trait, Jameer is electric, man. I mean, I feel like he got the ability – you know, I was a little bit worried because I knew he was explosive coming out of college. But, you know, I wasn't sure, like, how he would do in between the tackles. And, man, like – you don't miss a beat, man. Like that same speed you see on the outside when he get on the edge, like he do it right in between the tackles, man. And like, you know, he's so quick to cut, man. Like he got like a nice little highlight tape of just like those one cut and goes. And then as far as Montgomery, I mean, he just your old school bell cow, man. Hand on the ball. One person is not going to tackle that man. And I like, if I had to pick a favorite of two, it's definitely Montgomery because I like to think that that's how I was because – I mean,
power. Yeah,
that's a tank, man. David Montgomery is a tank, man. He fights for extra yards, and you know, and I feel like Jameer gets a lot of the, you know, the highlight plays and everything like that. And you know, most of Montgomery's work coming in between the tackles, those end of the game yards where you know he fighting to get you know 6-7 yards, 4-5 yards, and every inch. So, you know, that's what I would say those two guys' strongest traits is Jameer, just his ability to change power. And then, you know, David Montgomery, he can finish off games for us, man. I mean, he's just a hammer. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I'm like, reminded me of old 44 back in the day, AG. you was light on your feet at 245.
Yeah, I tried to be, man. You know,
but you was like, a powerhouse, bro. You got a lot of extra yards after contact. Have you? I know we haven't seen him much, but what about Vaki? Have you seen anything from him?
So Vaki, man. I mean, he, you know, he just like, you know, you get like we got two guys right now that's doing it for us. We don't really need a third guy. Like those two guys are healthy, so like, why, you know, use Vaki as I think they want to use him as like a change of pace backs. Because I think Jameer Gibbs, you know, at first they thought that was going to be him. And they're like, no, this guy could carry a whole load, man. He can go in between the tackles, pass protection. We can throw him out there on screen plays, pass plays. And I think Vaki is really going to be that change of pace guy, like that you see in on third downs and you kind of want to do like the toss sweeps or you throw him a screen play. But honestly, I mean, he's doing a great job on special teams. He made a big tackle a couple weeks ago on the punt return, man. And like, that's what you like to see, man. Like the dude, he made the team, you on the 53 man roster. So, You know, you're going to do whatever, you know, the team needs you to do. And right now, you know, that's not to play running back. But I think that, you know, we will see more of him in the future. But right now, this is just like his rookie campaign. You know, he learning behind the two best in the game right now. And, you know, he a big asset for our team on special teams.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, I mean, there's just not enough touches available right now with the two-headed monster we got. But he's a guy you're not going to want to let go. I don't know. He's probably got the three-year rookie. He's a guy we want to keep around because I feel like he's going to really produce in the future.
Yeah. I mean, so far what I've seen, how, you know, obviously they drafted him as a running back. But, I mean, in a pinch, if we had injuries pile up in a game, you could throw him in at safety because he played in college. So, I mean, out of emergency, I guess you could put him back there. So he's super valuable to have on the roster.
No, for sure. I couldn't agree more, man. Like, to play that many positions in college is hard, man. Like, you know, a guy like – he doing more than Travis Hunter doing right now in college. You know, he played corner. He played safety. He played running back. I'm sure he probably could have threw the ball, too, if they let him do that. So,
nice. Let's switch gears a little bit. I know it's something you brought up on the speak pipe. We've talked about it a couple times on the podcast about Aaron Glenn. You know, Ben Johnson's been the hot name as far as possibly moving on. But Aaron Glenn, with what he's been doing, especially with, I mean, we've just been decimated on defense. And to still put up these numbers, not giving up touchdowns, you got any thoughts on Aaron Glenn and if he might jump ship at the end of the year?
I mean, I think he earned it, man, to be honest. You know, you don't want to lose a guy like that. But, like, I mean, we talking about a guy that even myself, man, and, like, I've always liked Aaron Glenn, but it was a time, you know, recently, the last few years, where I'm like, man, we got to move on, man. Like, it's just not working. Like, I know he's a leader of men, you know what I'm saying? And, like, he interviews really well. He say all the right things, but it's just, like, it's not working. And, you know what I'm saying, like, now you see with personnel what he is capable of, man. And then right now he in such a rhythm, you know, like even when his personnel is not available, that he's still able to have our defense playing the way it is. And I think that speaks volume, man. Like when you know, are on, you know, guys that are off the practice squad, like playing heavy minutes on that defense, you know, Kendall Vildor is going to get some action. You know, I just saw Carlton Davis won't be playing again this week. So it's going to be another test for our boy Aaron Glenn. And I mean, I think he, you know, even more so than Ben Johnson, like deserves a head coaching position, man, because, you know, he really had to start from the bottom, you know, when Ben Johnson, like, you know, he got handed, like, you know, the shiny car, Penei Sewell, you know, here go Jared Goff, here go Amon-Ra St. Brown. And, you know, Aaron Glenn didn't get handed none of that, man. And he still figured it out and he's still making it work, even with, you know, some of our key pieces missing.
Yeah. That's a really good point, too. What I thought about AG, too, is just like, yeah, I admit I was one of the people that wanted him gone, you know, after the first two seasons where it just felt like our defense wasn't working out. But if you think about how Aaron Glenn was not a defensive coordinator in the past, he didn't have the experience. So he had to kind of learn on the job as he went the last few years. And I feel like he's finally figured it out, because now this season we're losing a star player after a star player, it seems like, at every position on defense. And he just has it figured out where you can put a backup that they've developed and it's working. So like you said, AG, like, I feel like it reflects on Aaron Glenn that at this point he's figured it out as a defensive coordinator, what he needs to do. And everybody is, you know, can see it, that it's obvious. So he's going to be a strong candidate. I'd be surprised if he did not get a head coaching job this offseason.
Oh, I also like what he's done with Rodrigo too, man. Rodrigo had a big game Sunday to step up for Zaloni's injury. So it's good. Good seeing him grow. And that's all because of Aaron Glenn and the time he spent with Rodrigo. So good stuff.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. We've probably been the luckiest with all the injuries in the linebacking corps. It's probably like our deepest core on defense.
Yeah.
You know, Barnes went out early and Anzalone, Rodrigo, there's been no drop off. Jack Campbell, I think, is really stepping into his own. And Neiman gets in there and makes plays. So definitely feeling the linebackers. If we can keep that secondary together for the most part, we should be good to go. And with Chicago coming in You know, I think this is 4 games in 12 days for us, which is insane. Chicago, you know, they played Sunday, so they got a short week as well. And what do you think about them, AG? The Bears, you know, they've kind of been for like 4 or 5 weeks straight, they've been like one play away from getting the job done. So I don't think they're quite as bad as what they look. But what do you think about the Bears coming into Detroit tomorrow?
Yeah, man, and I think the Bears are, you know, a casualty of just having bad coaching, man. When we were getting ready for the season, you know, you kind of look at, you know, what every team in the division got on paper. You know, the Bears offense on paper is like probably like one of like something that could be a problem. You know, you look at all the names they had, the acquisitions they made, and then you sprinkle in Caleb Williams, who was a dog, man, was like doing video game stuff in college. I'm like, man, yeah. I was like, this Bears offense could probably score 30 points a game, man. You know what I'm saying? And then their defense up front, man, I think they spent quite a bit of money on their linebackers and a couple of defensive linemen. So, you know, really only missing like a few things. And like what that tells me, like when you got that many, you know, good players, you know, DeAndre Swift, the DJ Moores, Cole Kmet, and like the pieces that they have on defense, it just tells me that you are a product of just bad coaching. And I really think it's two versions of the Bears. You know, it's the Bears that, you know, have been, you know, on this 5-game losing streak where they just can't seem to figure it out. They can't make the big plays. You know, Caleb Williams is making bad decisions. But then it's that Bears team that was at the beginning of the season where stuff was clicking, man. Like DeAndre Swift started coming alive and looking good. You know, Caleb Williams was getting the ball out on time. So, I mean, it just depends on which one of those teams show up, man. Like if the team that showed up from earlier in the season where everything is clicking, you know, and the coaches like seem to have it figured out, or it could be this Bears team of the last month and a half that's just been trying to figure out how to ways to lose games. So I don't think the Bears are a bad team, you know, just they got really bad coaching. And I think that's another thing that, you know, us here in Detroit, like we're really fortunate that, you know, because if you look at our team on paper, we don't have like the star talent of a lot of these teams, but like we are the best team in the National Football League because our players are good enough, but our coaching is elite at every level. So,
Yeah.
I want to ask you like too, just like from your time in high school and college, is that something that to the players that is like really apparent? Like, can you tell like when coaching is really not the best? Is it like, why are we calling these plays or why are we practicing this way? How does that come across from at the player level?
I mean, it does, man. It's all about confidence, right? Like, first of all, like you don't want to see, you know, no player likes when their head coach is calling plays unless you Andy Reid, because he wanted the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't really want to see like their head coach is like calling offensive or defensive plays. Like they want, you know, it's like a trust system, man. Like, and I think Dan Campbell does a really good job of that. Like you hired a guy to do a certain job and like, how much do you trust him to do it? Like, and like you see Dan Campbell, man, like other than like celebrating his players, man, like he not in Aaron Glenn's ear, he not in Ben Johnson's ear, he got that little play sheet hanging down, and other than fourth down you don't really see him holding it up. So you know, players like to see that confidence that the head coach trusts the guys that he put in charge, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. And if you don't really have that, if it's like a power struggle, it's like, oh, I'm just going to take over calling the plays. You know what I'm saying? Like that throws the players off a little bit. Like, okay, like, well, this is the guy that's been coaching me up all week. And now the head coach, who is kind of like everywhere as he should be, is like calling the plays on offense. And it's like, do you really know like the schemes we had? You know, me and the offense coordinator, we were texting back and forth. Like, do you have what we've been talking about? I like to make and, you know, like you just don't like to see it, man. I think, like I said, the Bears have a little bit of that going on. I feel like Eberflus is trying to have his hand in every bucket, and it just don't work, man.
Yeah. I feel like when head coaches get to that point, it's like obvious that they're desperate. They're nervous. It's kind of like a panic mode, and that's because trust ain't there like you're talking to, AG. So not a good sign for them.
Yeah.
Quick question. We talked about this is a little off topic. We're just kind of curious. Who's the best player, best football player you ever played with?
Played with or against?
You can, both. You can do both.
So the best player I played with is actually got his first dub last week with the Cowboys, Cooper Rush.
Cooper?
You played with Cooper. No way.
Yeah, he was my starting quarterback for 2 years. And he, just special, man. Not a great athlete, but, like, super smart, loved a game, you know what I'm saying? And, like, was all about the X's and O's, but definitely the – and then, like, I mean, you see it now, man. This is, like, 10 years later since I played. He's still in the league, you know, mm-hmm. like, when his number is called, you know, he wins game for the Cowboys. They should just let him take over, you know what I'm saying? But so Cooper Rush, the best player I played with. The best player I played against is Khalil Mack, man. Khalil Mack at Buffalo.
Ooh, so, man, did he yeah. get a tackle on you or what?
Nah, bro. So I had a chop block called against Khalil Mack, and he jumped over me and got the sack, bro. So I was on his highlight tape.
I forgot he was a Mack dude.
Yeah, man. Mack dude, man. But yeah, Khalil Mack, probably the best player we played against.
Who drafted on the Raiders? Pick. Yeah.
Yeah, the Raiders. Yeah, he was a top five pick too, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
So they probably had a scout from the Raiders who saw that clip.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, let's draft this guy.
Well, he was in Chicago. Wasn't he in Chicago for a while?
Yeah, after Raiders. Yeah. I think Raiders traded.
Yeah.
What's the plans for tomorrow? You got you guys chilling or what you got going on for the game?
We are moving a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So we're gonna move a little bit in the morning, but hey, about noon, you know, all bets are off. We're gonna be in front of the TV. Drink in hand, you know what I'm saying, and cheering on our Lions, man.
Yeah. Like,
we need a Thanksgiving win, man. It's been a long time. It's been
7 years.
Yeah, dude, it's been forever. Man. Well,
the last question we had for you was just the overall outlook of the rest of the year. We got a pretty stout schedule coming the rest of the year. And it's so crazy to be sitting here 10-1. To be just sitting here comfy for like the last 9 weeks, but we're only a game ahead of Minnesota, a game ahead of two games ahead of Green Bay,
and so Philly.
Right. So it's weird to be sitting at 10-1, and every week is still kind of like a must-win week. We got Buffalo coming to town. What do you think we got the rest of the year?
I loved Adrian's hot take a couple weeks ago, man. Like, I would love for the Lions to finish just, like, winning out. I mean, it's hard to do in the NFL, man. Yeah. The injuries start piling up, you know, and then you got to give guys a break at the end of the season if you do book it to the offs. So, I could see them dropping the game to a Buffalo team that is a legit Super Bowl contender. But outside of that, I mean, Green Bay and Minnesota are going to be tough. I think we got – three really big test games coming up: Buffalo, Minnesota, Green Bay. Even though we took care of business twice, I mean, as you guys know, in football, it's hard to beat a team twice. And we talking about if the Lions, you know, do go to the bowl, they might have to potentially beat a Vikings or a Packers team three times. So, So I think that, you know, I mean, this is what we, you know, this is what we play for, though. You know what I'm saying, man? The big games, you know, like, to be on national TV, to, you know, like, deal with the adversity of injury. So I think that the Lions will finish strong. Right now I'm thinking like 13-4, 14-3-ish. But if we went out, you know, I'll be happy with that too. But I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped a couple, you know, here in this last leg of the season, though.
Yeah. I'm actually a little nervous for tomorrow. Like, you just never know.
With Thanksgiving, man.
Division rival. Not just Thanksgiving, but like too, with the Bears just switching their offensive coordinator. Like, there's not enough film on what they're doing to, you know, understand that dude's head and thinking of how he calls plays. So I'm just like, I'm kind of skeptical going in this game with the injuries that we've already got. Yeah. So we'll see. It might be a tough one. But awesome. We do got a speak pipe real quick from Caleb. He couldn't make it tonight, but here's Caleb.
What's up, All Grit Podcast? This is Caleb, the humble host. Hey, fellas, sorry I can't make it in today. I have plans this evening, but welcome, AG. to the pod. Looks like we're switching seats out this shooting. So you go ahead and host it up, bro, and I'll call in and leave the question. So listen, with the Bears game tomorrow, the more I think about it, the more I think the closer the game is actually going to be. I don't think Carlton Davis is going to be healthy. Now, he could miraculously play tomorrow and it would ease my fears, but with Carlton Davis out, with Terrion still not being 100%, I think they might put Robertson out, and then they might even bring in somebody off of the practice squad or switch around definitely what they got going on for that other corner. But I guess what I'm trying to say, boys, is I think it could be a closer game. I'm leaning more now towards less than a touchdown victory. So I'm thinking maybe even closer to three. I think the Bears are going to get their yards, and I think our corners are going to get a little bit taken advantage of. So we're still going to be able to stop the run. We're still going to be able to get our points with our offense, but I think the Bears are going to get their points too. So that's what I got to say, boys. Go Lions, one pride, and AG, take it away, baby.
Bro, we are on the same page. I hadn't even heard his speak bite yet, so it was perfect.
That is perfect, man. But it sums it up, man. Like I said, the Bears got pieces on offense, man. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, you know, Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift been looking good, man. So it's like it could very well be a shootout.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
If I had to take the pick, though, I would rather take my chances with the Bears throwing the ball all over the field. Just, you know, we still got Kirby and Branch and everybody back there. And like you said, Swift, he's been so up and down. Like, he's had some games where he's done absolutely nothing, and then he's broken out. You know he's going to be super motivated to come back to Detroit.
He's going
to
want to break out tomorrow.
Right. So, I mean, it's going to be just football one-on-one, stop the run first and foremost, and then see what happens. I mean, Caleb Williams, he obviously is great at extending the play with his legs, which I think opens up for a little bit more, a few more sacks than we've been getting lately. But, you know, he's a playmaker.
Definitely is, man. It might be one of those seeking revenge games for Swift.
Do you have the hot takes in front of you, Adrian?
Do we know Caleb didn't send the hot takes in, but we did want to get AG's hot takes. We
put our hot takes in on Monday.
AG, what's your hot take for tomorrow?
So my hot take for tomorrow, you know, a little bit. So we've been on this crazy streak of 24 games where we've been scoring a rushing touchdown pretty much every game. So my bold take is that, like, we don't score a rushing touchdown tomorrow, and we win the game off of the arm of Jared.
Okay, I can get with that. Okay.
So I think the streak will end eventually. You know, it's Thanksgiving. Yeah. You know, weird things happen on Thanksgiving to the Lions, and I think that streak ends, but the Lions still come out on the top, you know, and Jared Goff, you know, pulls us to that victory.
That's a great hot take, bro. We'll write that one down. I love it. All right, so I got two last questions for you, AG. It'll be real quick. I cannot let you leave without asking this because you're the perfect person to ask. Plax and Clay know what I'm going to ask. The first question, AG, is how much does a running back's coach play into the performance of that running back room?
It's everything, man. Scotty Montgomery is that guy, man. Like, I want to play for that guy. The running back coach is so important, man. And like, until you in a meeting room and you getting coached one-on-one, and like the passion that these guys have for the game, a lot of them used to play the same position, but then a lot of guys just like then coached, you know, some of the best. So, you know, like when you have that, a good running backs coach, man, like, you really trying to learn and listen to what they say, like when they breaking down film. But that relationship is everything, man. A good running backs coach. And he is our assistant head coach. And like, that's for a reason, man. Like, leadership comes from that room, man, from the players and from that position coach. So it's very important.
You're singing to the choir, bro. The reason I asked that is we got a group chat between the Pod Boys, and me and Caleb have been going back and forth debating who is the better running backs coach. He's on the Deuce Staley side. I'm on the Scotty Montgomery side. if you had to pick AG, who do you think is the better running backs coach? It's not saying one stinks or less than the other. If you had to pick, who you playing, who you running for?
I'm rolling with Scotty Montgomery, man.
Let's go.
I like
hear that, Caleb.
I like Deuce, man, but like at the end of the day, he left us, man. He thought he had a better opportunity somewhere else, and you know, he didn't feel like he was getting the opportunities, you know, that, you know, he felt like he deserved here. But like Scotty Montgomery is that guy, man. And like, you know, I know he don't do a lot of post game press conferences and everything like that, but I'm telling you, Jameer, Vaki, Montgomery, all those guys in those room, like
for a reason.
On any given day, man, they could go off. Like if Jameer Gibbs or David Montgomery misses any amount of time, like don't be surprised if like the production is still there, because I'm telling y'all, like Scotty Montgomery knows what he's doing. Deuce was good, but Scotty Montgomery is special, man. He's one of those guys that could go from position coach to head coach, you know, and I really believe that. So, you know,
That's what I'm saying, man. Like I'm not trying to hate on Deuce. And Caleb's all like, you know, Deuce was such a good running back, all this stuff. But I'm like, dude, Scotty is such a good teacher. He is such a good motivator and coach. Like on the sideline, he's always with that, you know, Windows pad, like showing the guys a play and pointing stuff out. And you can tell behind closed doors that these guys love him as a coach. And so, you know, if I had to pick, I obviously would want Scotty Montgomery too. I think he's got a good track history with Jonathan Taylor back with the Colts. Had a huge year in 21. Then he comes here and we're like best in the league. I don't think it's a coincidence. So glad we got your take, AG. Hope you're hearing this, Caleb.
Yeah, it's all right, Caleb, man. Deuce was a good running back.
Hey, before the pod,
though, bro.
I got to get my take in real quick, though, real quick.
Oh, go, okay. We didn't get you.
Yeah. So it's more like a volcano pick instead of a hot take, but and I'm challenging him too. I say Vildor with an interception.
Whoa!
Yeah. Okay. I hope you're right.
Hey, I'm with that one.
Bro, I'm with it.
Please, man.
I'm with it, man. I love
Hey, thanks for joining, bro. We really appreciate
bro. Oh, man, we need to have you on the pod more often. You're like the Aaron Rodgers to Pat McAfee. We need to have you more often as a feature on the album, bro.
Whenever y'all want, man, just let me know. But, you know, I'm a close it out how I do on the speak pipe, man. I'm a log off, but y'all boys keep up the great work.
Appreciate you, bro.
All right, thanks,
AG. Thanks for listening this week. Hope you guys appreciated some words from a wise expert. We'll have him more often on the pod. Let's go, Lions. Get that win tomorrow. Peace. Awesome, baby.